This is Charlie Riggs of the Billy Graham team, coming to you with lesson number one of the Billy Graham Relay Counseling Lectures. I trust that you have your notes before you there and that you will be able to follow me throughout the lecture. I've been trying to learn your language and have succeeded fairly well, but there are still a number of words that I'm having a little trouble with. We trust that you will be able to understand me for the most part. I'm reminded of an incident in London during the preparation for the crusade. One day I was calling on to Oxford, and I got the operator on the phone and asked for Reverend Hawes at Oxford 7966. She said, "Did you say Ashford?" And I said, "No, Oxford. You know, the university city, the University of Oxford." She said, "The University of Ashford?" And I said, "No, Oxford." And at that moment, a young lady came up to the desk, and I said to her, standing near the desk, "How do you say Oxford?" She said, "Oxford." And so then I said, "Operator, let's start over again. Now, I would like to call Oxford 7966. And my call went through immediately. And so we trust that you will be able to understand what I am saying here tonight. Now, just before we start, I would like to commit this program to the Lord in prayer, so shall we bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this privilege of meeting together now to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and how we might come to know Him better and serve Him more effectively in our daily walk of life. And we pray that the Spirit of God might be very present in our midst here tonight. May we sense Thy presence. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Now tonight we're going to cover more or less the general outline of counseling and follow-up. And I'd like to point out, first of all, the rally or crusade objectives, so we might have them well in mind. And the first one we cite here is the gospel to the greatest number of people. Now, naturally, we would like to reach thousands upon thousands of people in your community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are dependent very definitely on the willingness of the local committee and the local workers to pray and organize and publicize and do everything in their power to bring people out to hear the gospel. We have used the Operation Andrew plan very effectively throughout the world, and I cite it here for you. We learned this plan in London, England, and it's taken from John 1, 40 to 42. And the idea was that simply when Andrew came to Jesus and met the Lord, he immediately wanted to go and find his brother and bring him to the Savior, which he did. You take also the illustration of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. When she came to know the Savior, she immediately went after some of her friends. And in the 29th verse, it states, "Come and see the man which told me everything that I've ever done." And so as Andrew and this woman of Samaria immediately had a burden for others, we trust that you counselors and others in the community will be burdened for the uncommitted and the uninterested people in your community, and will be praying for them and doing everything in your power to make it possible for them to know about the meeting and to attend the meeting. Perhaps you can organize some transport for them and organize their some type of a program which will see them in attendance at the meeting. The second objective here we have is the winning of lost people to Christ. And we will cite in a moment how that will come about. But we are desirous of seeing hundreds and thousands of people through these relays come to a knowledge of the Savior. And then thirdly, the strengthening of the local church, which will be done, as we will point out, through the follow-up program. Second point on our outline tonight, objective achieved. First of all, I would like to point out that the message will be an evangelistic message night by night, pointing people to their need of a Savior and how to find Christ. And then, at the end of each message, there will be a gospel invitation. and people will be invited to come forward to a three-point invitation to receive Christ. First of all, in the invitation, Dr. Graham will say that we need to acknowledge our sin and repent. Acts 3:19 tells us to repent, therefore, and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out. And the first step in coming to Christ is an acknowledgement of sin and a willingness to repent or turn from sin. We will go into this in more detail in a further lecture. Second point of the invitation, they must receive Christ by faith. And then thirdly, follow him in obedience in the fellowship of the church. And as the Lord has been working in the individual hearts by his Spirit, we trust to see many people responding to the gospel invitation night by night. And as they come forward, they will be joined by counselors of the same sex and approximate age at the front, and then taken into a counseling room where we will do further counseling with them. First of all, in the counseling room, we should have a missioner who will give a brief talk reviewing the gospel invitation. And then the missioner should lead in prayer, leading all of the inquirers to pray according to their particular needs. Some will be coming to receive Christ, some for assurance of salvation, some will be coming forward for restoration, to come back into fellowship with the Lord. And each of these we will take up more at length in later lectures. At any rate, the missioner will speak briefly and then lead those in prayer who have come forward. After which time, the counselor will be introduced, who will confirm the commitment with the open Bible, leading those that they are helping to a definite commitment to Jesus Christ, or to give them assurance of sins forgiven, or whatever the need may be. After which time, they will introduce certain follow-up materials and fill in the decision card. After the counselor is all through with this, he will take the inquirer to an advisor, a local minister, or a mature Christian worker, who will interview the person to make sure that they're absolutely clear beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now then, that's the achievement, we might say, of objective number two, that is the winning of the lost to Christ. The next point on our outline here is follow-up. We are desirous of seeing each person who comes not only make a firm commitment to Christ, but also to see them going on in Christ. And in our last lecture, we will devote our entire time to follow-up and the importance of immediate follow-up in each case. In our follow-up program, we will be going into church follow-up. The name of each individual who makes a decision for Christ is sent on immediately, within 24 hours, we trust, or 48 at the most, to one of the local ministers. And here we trust that the minister will receive the name and will immediately do something about it by way of making contact. There will be further help needed in many cases. The person may not be quite clear yet about his commitment, and in every case, further help will be an absolute must. Then there will be counselor follow-up, and we ask that each counselor keep in touch with the one that he helps for at least a certain amount of time, and give help to the individual until the church and the minister makes contact and takes over. Sometimes this contact by the counselor is of utmost importance, and it will be the determining factor whether or not the person stands fast in the faith and goes on in Christ. Now, we know that the devil, the evil one, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil neither slumbers nor sleeps. And we know that he will be on the job and will do everything in his power to cause doubts and to lead the person astray, just as the parable of the sower brings out. He would enjoy plucking up the seed or doing something that would render the commitment ineffective. And so the follow-up by the church and by the counselor is very important, and it should be done right away. Then finally, there would be a correspondence follow-up, And the chairman of follow-up should write a letter at least to each individual, encouraging them in church attendance, encouraging them in their Bible study, and just a checkup letter of encouragement in each case. That then would be the achievement of our objective number 3. That would be strengthening the local church. And we believe that through this rally, we can easily see a large number of people coming in to the local church. The Bishop of Barking, who was chairman of our second crusade in London when we went back in 1955 for the Wembley meeting, said repeatedly, "New life is flowing into the church." And we trust that that will be the case in your case also. Now the third point in our outline tonight, why counselors? We've already mentioned perhaps enough to give you an idea of what your responsibility will be and the need of counselors, but we'll go into just a little bit of detail at this point on the need of counselors, why we have them. First of all, it's to help secure solid commitments. You remember the story of Philip and the eunuch in Acts 8? The Spirit said to Philip, "Get thee up to this man's chariot." And Philip, obedient to the Holy Spirit, went up and found the eunuch reading in the Scriptures. And Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." And so Philip was able to sit alongside of the individual and not only point out to him who the Lamb was that the Scripture spoke about, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, but he was able to lead this eunuch to a place of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be precisely your responsibility. As these people come forward, many of them will be quite clear as to the claims of the gospel and their need of acknowledging Christ and repenting of their sin. And you will need only to help confirm what Dr. Graham has said in his message, as we will point out later in another lecture. Some of these people will be coming forward not quite clear in their mind. They will certainly realize that something is wrong in their heart and life, that there is sin in their life, that they're not right with God, and you will need to sit down with them and counsel them and help them to see more clearly how to have their need met through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you will be then a guide to help these inquirers to Christ. And notice that we do call them inquirers all the way through. Dr. Graham never refers to these people as converts. Only the Lord can convert and change the life. Dr. Graham is merely an instrument used of God to show people their need of conversion and show them what to do in order to be converted or changed over. The Scripture tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So then, your first responsibility as a counselor is to help secure solid and clear commitments to Jesus Christ. Secondly, follow-up. I've already mentioned a bit of counselor follow-up and the need of follow-up. Our desire is to see these who have come not only brought to a knowledge of the Savior, but living in Christ and going on in Christ. Certainly the Christian life is a walk, and the Scripture points out, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so are we to walk in Him. I suppose that our goal for the rally would be found in Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Jesus Christ." And so, we feel that the counselor can play a real part or role in seeing these who have come not only find the Lord, but walk in Christ and grow in Christ. And as we will point out in lecture number 6, various ways and means that we will go about in our follow-up program to see them firmly established, in the church, living the Christian life that will glorify God, and then being used effectively to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, counselor's responsibility is to secure accurate information on the decision card for our church follow-up. And though this is a minor detail, yet it's very important to us that the counselor be very careful to secure accurate and complete information in order that we might be able to follow up through the church and by correspondence. Now, point number four, we point out the purpose of the training, and the purpose is twofold. First of all, there's that spiritual part of the training, which will equip us to serve. There will be the six lessons in all, plus additional study and memory work. Tonight we are on the general outline of counseling and follow-up. Next week, we will go into qualification in lesson number two. The third lesson, we will talk about the scriptures in counseling. Why use the scriptures and the importance of the scriptures and how that we can come to know the scriptures and retain the scriptures in order to use them effectively in counseling. In lesson number four, we will talk about counseling the unconverted. What is basic in bringing a person to a knowledge of the Savior and then giving him his assurance of sins forgiven and his assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ? This is a very important lecture, and we trust that you will be able to attend this one as well as all of the other ones. Then in class number five, we will go into counseling for restoration. What to do with a person who has previously made a commitment to Christ, has perhaps known what it has meant to be faithful to the church, but now, because of sin in the life, from a lesser to a greater degree, he has drifted. And now Christ is no more first in his life, nor does the church play much of a part in his life at all. He comes under conviction of sin and comes forward for forgiveness, seeking God's forgiveness, and that he might be restored into fellowship and come back to the place where Christ is first in his life and where he is active serving in the church and worshiping in the church. Then in lecture number six, we will go into follow-up. Who should do it and how? And again, we trust that you will be able to follow through in coming along to this lecture as well as all of the others. Now, we mentioned the purpose of the training being twofold. One, to equip you to serve, and then procedures. We must have some procedures to organize this group of counselors into a team that's well-knit and functioning well together so that they'll know what to do at the various times during the meeting and after the meeting. The procedures will be quite largely answered through accompanying instructions. Throughout the classes and throughout the instruction, we will endeavor to answer five questions for you. Number one, how do I become a counselor? Each applicant must fill in an application along with their attendance and completion of assignments, and this will determine their status as a counselor. In other words, your coming to the class doesn't automatically make you a counselor. You must attend the lectures, complete the assignments, and in one of the classes, you will be given a counselor application form, which you must take home, fill in, and return to the next class in the series. And your application form will be carefully gone over by the committee, and your background, along with your attendance at the classes and completion of assignments, will help to determine your status as a counselor. Another question which we will answer is, where do counselors sit in the meeting? And as a rule, you will be seated at the front in a reserved section so that you will be ready at the front to be linked with inquirers as they come forward. And thirdly, how do I link with an inquirer? At the front, there should be committee members who are at the front, more or less receiving people who come forward, and at the same time indicating to counselors at the front row that they want to stand with each particular inquirer. Then fourthly, what do I do in the counseling room? All of this will be, as I mentioned, handled under separate instruction, and so we will take that up at a later date. We will have more or less 10 steps of procedure that you will go through in the counseling room, which will be found in the counselor instructions. And fifthly, what are my follow-up responsibilities? We've already mentioned some of those, and we will be going into more detail at a later date. Now, this number five would be more or less a counseling class routine. This would be suggested steps for the leader to follow. And though he may not want to follow in this precise pattern or detail, yet I do think that all of these suggested steps are quite essential in conducting the class. First of all, I'd like to point out the class should be a more or less 1 hour in duration. You'll be listening to a 30-minute tape, and then I would suggest that another 30 minutes be given over to review, to discussions, and then more or less to the introduction of the new material or homework, and an opportunity given for any questions. At the start of the class, the materials should be handed out, notes and studies, as people are coming in, and also an attendance record so that they can each record their attendance during the evening. We have found it quite good to start the meeting with a song or two and then have prayer. Then I have found it very effective in all of the classes that I've ever led to have a good review before we go into the new material. And I have found it quite good and necessary to review all the scripture verses to date. In other words, in the second class, you will review Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And in the second class, you will review all of the verses, the two new ones that were assigned for the week, plus the two that were learned from the first week. And each class, review all of the verses that you have learned to date, giving the reference before and after the verse. This helps the individual to locate them more carefully in their mind and to be able to find them more quickly in counseling. And then it might be good, just before the lecture, to review key questions, if not all, the Bible study. Let different ones give answers to the questions. Then, of course, would come the 30-minute tape. Listen carefully to the tape, following through on the printed notes. And I would suggest that you have additional scrap paper or a notebook on hand to take other notes that may not appear on the printed lesson that you have. From time to time, I will be giving out additional Bible references and say some things, perhaps, that you would like to record. After each lecture, it will be well to hold a brief discussion. And in each lesson, I will suggest material for discussion. And so the leader should more or less open the meeting up to discussion and let the people talk up freely. I think it will help to give a better understanding of the lesson and certainly will give a clearer understanding of the points of emphasis which we think are important and must be more clearly understood. After the discussion, then the assignment. I think it will be well to go over the assignment in each case and ask the ones who are in attendance if they have any questions. I've got here a note. Since these tapes are brief, and since you will not be taking many notes rather than just sitting listening, you may not need to concentrate quite as much as you would if you are having to take notes. Now, for the most part, in our regular counseling classes, we do not give out printed notes, and people must follow very carefully, writing out their own notes. And people have told me that this has helped them to concentrate and get more out of the meeting. And since you have your notes and it will be easier for you to follow, there will have to be a lot of emphasis placed on your completing the Bible assignments. You're completing the scripture memory verses. You're following through with the homework assignments. I've had many counselors tell me that perhaps the greatest blessing has come through the Bible studies that have accompanied the lessons, and also to the scripture memory verses that they have learned. And so I would encourage you right at this point to be faithful in the completion of these studies and in the memory of the scripture verses. Now then, for your lesson for next week, the discussion, we've asked you tonight to discuss Operation Andrew. Here would be an opportunity for you to get a better picture, perhaps, of how each one of you can help in bringing people to the meeting who need the gospel message. Certainly, if only Christian folk attend this meeting, you're not going to reach the unchurched. And so the more unchurched we have, the more uncommitted people we have in the meeting, the greater our potential for reaching the lost with the gospel message. And I think that each one of you who are interested in helping as a counselor should have a tremendous burden for lost people around you, people with whom you're working and going to school, and people who live in your community. And so let's discuss this business of Operation Andrew and determine the ways that each one of us can help bringing the uncommitted. One person in San Francisco, for example, after making his decision for Christ, helped his church to bring 16 more people to the Savior. Now, this individual, his name was Mac Rabin. He received Christ on the opening Sunday afternoon, and immediately he brought his wife and daughter back to the meeting on the Tuesday night, and his daughter received Christ. The following Saturday night, his wife received Christ. And the following 6 weeks of the crusade in San Francisco, he brought several carloads of people, 16 additional people, to his wife and daughter, made decisions for Jesus Christ because of his interest and his willingness to go out of his way to bring others. And so I lay this burden on your heart and trust that you will take the responsibility for getting the uncommitted into the meeting. Your homework is set before you very clearly. Memorize Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And then you have the gospel outline here. And this, more or less, presents the plan of salvation. You will find through Dr. Graham's message, night by night, these particular facts presented. Perhaps not in this precise arrangement, but these facts will be in the message, pointing people to the fact that they're sinners, that there's a penalty for sin, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, that salvation is a free gift, that Christ wants to come into our hearts by faith, that we must receive him into our hearts. And so you acquaint yourself with this gospel outline. Memorize the outline and the key verse under each point, and I know that it will be a tremendous blessing to your own life. And then read John, the 4th chapter, and note how God did use the woman of Samaria to bring others to Christ, and ask him to give you a real burden for those uncommitted people around you. Now it's been good to be with you, and we'll be back with you for the next lecture, and I'll turn the remainder of the class over to your local chairman.